Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We are live. So welcome in to the 100th episode of the Big Knowledge Football Dynasty Podcast. I'm Sonny. I'm your host. You can find me on Twitter at Big Knowledge FFB. I've got two fantastic guests today. They are the hosts of the Fantasy Timeline Podcast, a member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, Josh Valentin at Real Fantasy TL. What's up, Josh? Welcome in.
Hey, how you doing, Sonny? And I appreciate you getting the handle right, because I could not even get it right on the last show that we were on. So I appreciate that. And it is an honor to be on your 100th episode. I love you. I listen to you every time it comes live. So thank you very much.
Awesome, man. Did I get the Valentin right?
You did. You did. Perfect. 100.
And then, the funny thing is, I didn't know it was going to be my 100th guest, my 100th episode when I invited you guys on. I just figured this out this week when I was looking. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be my 100th episode. It's actually really perfect to have my next guest on, Bill at Super Duplex McCarthy. Bill, you are like literally one of like part of my whole story, part of like my, I remember when I had very few followers, when I've had very few listeners, and you were there, you were supporting me. And you've just been a part of this podcast. I'm very proud to just see you kind of develop and do all your things. And man, I'm stoked to have you on for the 100th episode. Welcome in, Bill McCarthy. You can find him on Twitter at SuperDuperFlex. What's up, man?
Hey, it's pretty cool to be on your 100th episode. Congratulations. And just looking forward to this. I always enjoy our conversations. So we get to actually do it on air this time. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. And like, it's just a number. It's 100th episode. It is important to me to say thank you to my listeners, because this is like a special 100th episode. I was thinking about it the other day when I saw this, and I actually got a review. I want to thank, I think his name's Roy. On Twitter, he's Fantasy Semi Pro. I think he's helped my house is on fire. So, I mean, he left a review that was basically said, like, I've been there from the beginning. I listened in the first 24 hours. I've literally had interactions with Roy since on Twitter, and just like, since the very beginning. And he, during the pandemic, he was one, like, he does, like, I'm not sure if he's a paramedic or something to do with it. So during the pandemic, he was like fighting. And it's just like, it's really cool to hear different stories and to have all these different people a part of my life. And like I said, Bill has always been a part of my story and in my fantasy podcasting life. So it's just really exciting to have you guys on, and just want to say thank you to the fans. Thank you for the ups and downs. And I feel like sometimes I look at that first year and it was like just me kind of goofing around and just kind of, and then I realized, like, wait, I'm still just goofing around. It's like three years in, and it was June 1st was my, it's like, really, I'm not that much has really changed. But at the same time, I really appreciate that people find some value and listen to it. And I really do try just to give you guys some value. That's the most important thing to me when I think about this podcast. So that's it. I just want to say thank you. We have a great show today. I'm really excited about the show. It's a lot of, it's a big episode. It's going to be long, so we're not going to waste too much time before we get into it. We have a trade calculator showdown, which you might have remembered a couple of years ago. I did a trade calculator showdown as the original one. Well, now I've got two guests that can help me be my guest judges. And we'll talk about it. It's going to be some fun stuff. And then they've also got some bold predictions for me for 2021. And so before we get into it, I do want to just talk a little trades with you guys a little bit, just to ask you guys, did you have any trades this offseason that you felt like you were really proud of, or that you're just really happy the way it turned out? First of all, that one, and then we'll ask kind of the opposite question. Josh, anything that you were like, man, I just really nailed that trade. Maybe it took a while to realize it, or you just were happy with it right away.
Oh, man. That's a tough one, because
I put you on the spot. I didn't give you guys this question, but, you know, it's kind of good to sometimes just throw.
And it's all good, because Bill and I are still wrapping up the Fantasy Timeline Listener League rookie draft. So I'm kind of still like thinking about all my rookie trades, because that's kind of the mindset I'm still in. But I know in a league I actually commissioned, I traded up to get Javonte Williams, and all I had to give up was like a third round pick, which, as we all know, in this year's draft, third round picks
are, that's like, amazing. Yeah.
Like, whatever. Retrospect. Like, love that. You know, I love, and you were actually talking about this, I believe, on your previous episode. I packaged like 2 fourths and a late third to move up to the beginning of the third round and got Kellen Mond, who I'm really high on. So just kind of like trades like that, where it's like, you're just kind of, you know, you catch people in the rookie fever mode, and you can kind of make trades that probably during the season you're not going to be able to make because those fourth round picks most likely are the first guys you cut when whatever random guy who you'd never expected blows up week one. Like the first guy you're dropping is that late fourth round pick that you just made because nobody would take the pick from you. So yeah, those are kind of the two that popped into my head, but it's because I'm in like rookie draft mode right now.
Bill?
Yeah, I think it's so hard for me to remember my trades. Like I'm very much like I make the trade and then I'm done with it. Like I don't even really like I don't give it a second thought. Like I'm unless I go back and I look at like the history of my trades, like I just don't retain that information. I mean, one was actually in the listener league that Josh and I share a team. We drafted Pittman and somebody offered us like a first round rookie pick for next year. And like those are the kind of trades I like to make like in a startup just because wide receivers are just so, you know, there's just so many of them. Like how do I differentiate Pittman from another wide receiver? I mean, I like him, but like, do I like him more than I like somebody else? I really don't know the answer to that. So I just like having like, being able to get an asset that I can turn into whatever I want, as opposed to like holding on to, potentially, you know, pretty good wide receiver. So, yeah, I like that one. I liked in our league where you and I traded Kamara last year for, you know, a bunch of pieces. Yeah,
that's funny because we have, you'll see in the trade calculator, there's a little bit of an homage to that.
Okay. So we'll get to that.
But yeah, you'll see this. It's the values have already changed considerably.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's good. What about any kind of major disappointments? Anything that you feel like you've already regretting any trade or anything?
Nothing? I mean, like I tell you, I just erase it from my brain. So I really don't regret anything.
Excellent response. Excellent way. All right. Well, we are just going to go ahead and then get into the Dynasty Trade Calculator Showdown. I just want to go ahead. We're going to do it. I'm going to do a little cheesy voice here. We're going to kind of set it up and then we're going to roll. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm very excited about this. It's just a lot of trade talk, a lot of different scenarios. So let's just go ahead and get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to BKF Studios, recording from the corner of Sonny's garage. It's the Big Knowledge Football Dynasty Trade Calculate Championship of the World! Tonight's main event features two of Dynasty World's top trade calculators. First, the Challenger. It's a legendary trade calculator, quite possibly the original. It has the legacy, it has the experience and the know-how, but can it get its title back that it lost 2 years ago? Its name is synonymous with Dynasty Trade Calculators because it's the Dynasty Trade Calculator. Thank you. I need a little help there. Now the champion. It won the title in its very first year as a trade calculator. Strong analytical bloodlines with connections to Player Profiler, Breakout Finder, and the Podfather. It's defending its title, representing the Roto Underworld. It is the Dynasty Dominator app. Ah! We hear some boos, and it's the bad boys of fantasy over there. All right, so let me tell you a little about the rules first. Let's just talk about the rules. So this is not a judgment on either fantasy trade calculator. This is a process that we're going to go through. When I did this 2 years ago, I picked out a bunch of trades that I thought I would really like to make. And then I started running them through the two different trade calculators. And I just kind of worked my way through it and figured out kind of, I worked with Twitter to figure out, like, Twitter was my judge. This time I decided to do it a little differently. I actually had to find different players that both trade calculators vastly differed on. So my goal was to create trades where there's a big difference. And so one side or the other is going to be correct, or at least in terms of what you guys decide. And so essentially what we're going to have is we're going to have five rounds, and we're going to have the first four rounds are going to have three different trades per round. And then the final fifth round will have five trades in it. And if you guys both agree on the trade, if you both agree on the same side, that will get a point. If you don't agree, there will be no points given. And we will just work our way through. We're not giving it by rounds. It's all total points. We'll just rack up the total points. That way it doesn't matter. But I just want to keep it in the round format. And yeah, like I said, this is not saying one is better than the other. This is, you know, really what it's about is kind of trying to decipher the differences in some of these kind of like trade value commodities, the differences in people's mindsets. Because, you know, I used to never do trade calculators, probably 2 or 3 years ago. Before I started this, before I actually did this showdown, part of the reason I did this showdown was because I always listen to like actual negotiation books, like real negotiation books and like stuff that talks about, and there was this moment when I was listening to an audiobook and they were talking about just like property values and all these things. And the words, I can't remember exactly now, it's been so long, but I remember to this day, it was something to the fact of you have to use every tool available to you that helps you understand the value in the market. And when they're talking about property values, but in my mind, I was just like, oh my gosh, that's a trade calculator. Like that is what dictate, that's like one tool that helps me dictate or asset or some way of getting some information back on what values of players are. And it's obviously followed by a lot of people. So it doesn't really matter that these are right or wrong or how it's about the process. It's about seeing that there's a lot of fantasy players with a lot of different values that they see these players in different lights, and just hearing these ideas and going through this process was really fun. It was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun for me because I was just like completely like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy that I can find this player here, but these players completely value differently over here. So like, I just want to make that a real point that this is not about one is better than the other. I think I use both of these. The only reason I'm choosing these two is not because I think they're the best. It's because they're the only two I have. They're the two I have access to. It's just kind of like I've always done. I'm presenting my dynasty approach, my dynasty world, to what I do to you as podcast listeners. And now I'm including a couple of listeners, guests to kind of help me to cipher through it. So with that said, I just want to make that clear. It is just for fun. It is for entertainment value, but I think there'll be a lot to be gained from this. And let's get into it. So round one, and I'll try to include a variety of like quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, a variety of different packages with different players, all like different names, different intriguing players' names, all the stuff that I wanted to give you as much variety as possible here. And also, what was I going to say? I don't know. Okay, so let's just go ahead and get into it. The very first trade in the first round is Kirk Cousins or Chase Claypool. So no, that was what I needed to tell you. Sorry, I knew there was something I needed to tell you. I needed to tell you the format. So I wasn't going to change. I don't want to. This is going to be one single format for the whole time. So you can get your mind right. You can get your mindset on exactly what it is. It's the format you play the most. It's super flex, tight end premium, approximately 30 players. Very just standard PPR, 1.5 PPR for the tight end. I want to put that out there because I want you to understand, also the listeners understand, that it is very much like, I don't want to be, you know, when you start going into one QB and then you're shifting your mindset back, it can get very hard to navigate those values. So to make it as easy as possible for you guys, I did just set up every single one of these trades is the same exact format. Super flex, tight end premium, standard like 30-person roster. Cool, PPR. Kirk Cousins. So if you're looking, say you're maybe looking to add a quarterback, or you maybe are looking to get rid of a quarterback that you have an extra one in a super flex league, would you be taking Kirk Cousins or Chase Claypool?
I'm taking Kirk Cousins. I think he's pretty much going to be probably a starting QB in the NFL for another 3-4 years. Like it may not be with the Vikings, but there's so many teams that are lacking in a starter that I have no doubt he'll, if Kellen Mond does become something, that he will find a job elsewhere. So I would much rather have a quarterback in Superflex. I just know the value will be there, whereas this will probably be a theme on my response because the wide receivers I'm just not that committed to. There's just so many of them.
Yeah, I'm with Bill here. It's Kirk Cousins. I believe he has 2 more years fully guaranteed in Minnesota. So, I mean, unless Kirk Cousins gets injured and Kellen Mond just comes on and becomes, you know, a top 5 quarterback, I can't believe that he's just going to overtake Kirk Cousins within the next 2 years. Chase Claypool, on the other hand, you know, if we're just talking about the next 2 years, he's got one with Big Ben and probably one with insert quarterback here. We don't know who that's going to be. Deontay Johnson is still on that team. And like Bill said, we're talking about wide receivers kind of being plentiful, a dime a dozen, if you will. That's going to be a battle. Juju's there this year. So for me, it's Kirk Cousins. Give me the starting quarterback and a super flex.
All right. So we are scoring a point for the defending champion, Dynasty Dominator app, who had Kirk Cousins rated at 142.58 points and Chase Claypool at 101 points. So a considerable difference, about a 40% difference. While the Dynasty Trade Calculator actually had Chase Claypool at an 18.5 compared to a 16.2. Now remember, when I talk about these two, you're going to hear the Trade Calculator is a much lower number. So I'll start giving you examples. That's pretty much like a third round, actually a late second round pick or something, difference there between the two, the 16.2 and the 18.5. It's considerably lower numbers, but I'll kind of give you some examples. But so yes, that was a win and a point for the Dynasty Dominator app. So let's go to the second trade. This is a running back. Now we're going to talk a little running back. So let's just say you either have Josh Jacobs or you're trying to acquire some running back help and you want to kind of you're looking at this draft. Now, I picked you guys because I know you've gone through some of these dynasty drafts and you know where these tiers are. You know where the drop-offs are, especially in this year's draft. So I've included some draft picks as well because I want to see your thoughts on this. So do you want Josh Jacobs or do you want the 110 this year and a future first-round pick that is potentially probably about the 110 as well?
I'm going to take the picks. I don't know what John Gruden is doing in Vegas. I mean, he seemed to have tore the team down in the beginning to build it back up with these picks. Josh Jacobs is one of those picks, and then they go ahead and sign Kenyon Drake, which, I mean, people are saying, well, he's just there for passing down work, but I don't believe that's all he's going to be there for. I mean, he's going to take some rushing attempts away from Josh Jacobs. And honestly, if John Gruden wakes up tomorrow and doesn't think Josh Jacobs is the man, he might not even be on the team in a couple of years. So give me the 110 in a super flex, which could easily be like a Mac Jones, another quarterback, Mac Jones. And then, you know, give me that first next year, even if that first is 110. I mean, me personally, I could do a lot of things with that first. I can make the pick. Or probably what I'm doing if I'm winning trades like this, I'm probably packaging this in another trade later on to upgrade at a position that I might be weak at.
I agree. Same answer. I like Jacobs. I just, you know, it's scary when they do sign somebody that does have a little bit of pedigree, you know, shown that they can contribute heavily. You know, it's kind of like it was Jalen Richard, now it's Kenyon Drake, so that's a little bit of a worry. Like, there's no, the ceiling is a little capped, that's the correct word. And yeah, I mean, you could still get like Javonte Williams at 110, and that's like not too shabby, and you know, and another pick. So I mean, it's hard to not move a questionable situation running back for two firsts, in my opinion.
All right. Well, I it's interesting on this one because, yeah, this is another point for the defending champion Dynasty Dominator app. This one was surprising to me because the Dynasty Trade Calculator actually had Josh Jacobs at a 21 points, and those two picks were only worth 14.1. So essentially, you'd have to add another first-round pick based on their calculations to get yourself Josh Jacobs, which I found probably a little too much. And then on the other side, it was a 200 points to 126.29. So a considerable edge for the two picks over Josh Jacobs. So we are looking at 2 points for the defending champ coming out of the gate swinging.
We didn't tell you that we're the developers for the,
What?
No,
yeah, like I said, I never set this up. Like I said, all I try to do is find differences, and I'll mention some of the differences I found at the end. I'll kind of summarize and maybe kind of mention a few of the things that stood out to me about both apps and or both the trade calculators and where they're kind of values different, but there was also just in individual players. I was just finding it, like I said, it was a lot of work, but I was trying to find as many different names and I had a lot of fun doing it. I learned a lot. It was just kind of weird. I was like hacking in, trying to figure out, well, what's this, what's that? And you know, you learn a lot. You just get a very interesting perspective, and none of this means anything, sure. But at the same time, it could very well mean something if you're entering into one of these trades for one of these players. So I'm trying to enter players I like, and I may want to enter. Well, here's AJ Brown. So maybe you just want to go get that number one wide receiver, which now I know Julio Jones is there, which we never, I'm not a big news guy, and I don't feel like there's a whole lot we need to talk about with Julio, but it does make a difference to some of these players we talk about in the trades. The trade calculators might not have had a chance to adjust. Either way, AJ Brown, he's wide receiver one. He's a stud. Everybody's going to want to get their hands on him, but you're going to have to pay. So AJ Brown or Cortland Sutton, Mike Davis, and 1-9. So, you know, you got some running back there. You got Cortland Sutton, who in his own right is kind of a stud. And you got 1-9 there, which is just past. We would all agree that 1-8 is kind of that cutoff on the Superflex. Mm-hmm. Then you go to 1-9, and then you get into the early twos. So that's, I'm just trying, I want to, you know, spell this off, or I pick those spots on purpose to kind of give you some variety here. What do you think?
So I like Cortland Sutton, like, but there's unknown there. I like the 109. You could get a running back or the fifth quarterback. Mike Davis, you know, he's an all right, fine piece. I'd probably be looking to move early in the season, you know, if he shows some volume there. So, like, I like those pieces, but I would much rather have two roster spots and AJ Brown. I think that's just an easy choice for me, because I can play AJ Brown for the next 8 years and not really worry about it. And I think, especially now that the news just broke while before we were recording, like, I feel great about, you know, he's not going to be keyed on anymore because Julio's there. So that's just a fantastic situation for him. I mean, I get it. Like, maybe he's not getting peppered with targets, but they're going to be quality targets now, and I feel good about that. So,
man, Sonny, I know this makes for boring podcasting, but
it's groupthink. I mean, we do a show together.
This is the classic to me three quarters for a dollar trade. I mean, I like Sutton. I think he's good, but I mean, there's question marks about health. There's question marks about quarterback. You know, Mike Davis, I think, is a good running back for 2021, but that beyond, I don't think so. And then 1-9, you know, Bill kind of stated it. Maybe you get RB3, maybe you get QB5, but AJ Brown is AJ Brown. And this is, and honestly, I know you did this obviously before the Julio news broke, but I think this is the type of trades that people should try to be making if they think the AJ Brown owner is scared of the Julio news. Throw him a Cortland Sutton that people really like. Throw him Mike Davis, who can at least help you this year. And everybody is loving rookie picks right now. So see if that works. I mean, it wouldn't with me. I like AJ Brown way too much for that, but it could if somebody's really worried about the Julio news.
All right, there we have it. So the Dynasty Trade Calculator is fighting back from the corner and gets itself a point. So yeah, that was interesting because the Dynasty Trade Calculator actually has AJ Brown worth a whopping 45.6 points, and that entire package worth 32.5 points. So then you would almost need another two first round picks or a first round pick and an early second to compensate to get up to the value that they're giving it. On the other hand, the Dynasty Dominator app has the package worth 289.56 points and the AJ Brown worth 230.91. So essentially, you could remove Mike Davis from the trade and still make the trade according to the Dynasty Dominator app. So you guys have decided. So we got 2-1 now, the end of the first round. Slight edge to the Dynasty Dominator app, but we have got a match, folks. All right. So round two, I'm going to go back to some quarterbacks here. All right. Baker Mayfield. It's, you know, it's right there on that. Not sure what to expect. There's some things there. We're going to talk about Baker Mayfield or Noah Fant and Curtis Samuel. So we've got some hypey names here. We've got some quarterbacks, another kind of position that's not scarcity position, Noah Fant. And this is tight end premium. So what are you thinking? How are we feeling? You want to take a process a second?
All right. So I'll start this one because I know Bill and Baker Mayfield have a blood feud that very few people know about. So this
I don't even know about this. Tell me more.
So this may be the first one that we disagree on. But I like Baker. I understand Noah Fant is, you know, could be tight end, what, as high as tight end 5 maybe. But I mean, man, if you're not getting one of the top 3, maybe we throw Hockenson in this year. Man, the rest of the tight ends, either any of them can end up tight end 5, tight end 6. We just don't know. It fluctuates so much from year to year. And then Curtis Samuel, yeah, I like the landing spot. I think Washington is going to be a much improved offense with the changes they've made. But give me Baker, man. I like the offense. He looked decent in year 1 of the new offense. And actually, he gets to keep the same offense so for the first time in his career. So you would think he should improve. Hopefully, OBJ can stay healthy and at least be productive, not, you know, top 12 wide receiver productive like they thought they were getting. But, you know, give me Baker. Bill may disagree with me, but I'm curious about his process. So.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not a Baker fan. I feel like he's overhyped by a lot of people. I know we have a lot of Ohio-based dynasty players, so, like, I get it. I think that people think he's better or has a higher ceiling than I think he does. If your expectation is that he's a solid QB2, you know, and that, let's say 13 to 18 range, then yeah, I'm okay with it. Like if that's your expectations, I'm totally cool with it. So like, you know, I mean, there's going to be years where he's 20, there's going to be years, like, I don't feel like you can say he's definitely a top of the tier QB2 every year. And, you know, maybe sneaks into like the points per game, I think he'll never be a QB1. Like, I'll say that right now. But, like, he's just good. Like, I feel comfortable with him having 2 more years, and then they're going to re-sign him, I'm sure. So, like, I feel good having a quarterback that I know is going to be playing for at least 3 more, or, you know, let's say 4 more years. So, I mean, the value there is just so great that it's hard for – I mean, I like Curtis Samuel, but dime a dozen. I like Fant. I think he's actually a little underrated right now. I think that, like, everybody's so excited about all these other tight ends that he could be the guy that actually slides, you know, up to that tight end 4. And, you know, but there's a lot of competition for targets in Denver. So, yeah, I still go the quarterback, and it's not necessarily pro Mayfield. It's just pro QB here.
So Sonny, this is historic, not because it's your 100th episode, that's historic, but you actually got Bill to say something nice about Baker Mayfield, so...
Well, do that with Drew Lock. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, he did, like, caption it with, I'm saying this about quarterback in general. Like, it could have been anybody who's breathing and, like, has a pulse. I think they would have, as long as they've got that position locked down for a couple of years, Bill...
I mean, that's how I'm playing the game now, like, with quarterbacks, is it's just totally about security. If it's not one of those top 8-9 guys, I'm totally fine just grabbing the guy I feel is going to have the longest longevity, you know, and comfort of situations. So, yeah,
No, it's not boring. It is what it is. This is part of the reason I include a quarterback in a lot of these rounds, is I feel like it's important to gauge the value of quarterbacks and to see what these trade calculators are valuing these quarterbacks at. This is a test and trying to see where other people are, where other, you know, industry people are, and kind of get it. This is to help us make better trades and to get an advantage somehow, some way when you process information. So with that said, it was Roto Underworld that actually got the Dynasty Dominator app, got the point. It was 192 points for Baker Mayfield and 170 points for Noah Fant and Curtis Samuel. That's not a lot of difference. That's like a 4th round draft pick difference, but it was an advantage to that side. And when you look at the other side, the Dynasty Dynasty trade calculator had a 33.3 to 27.8 for the Noah Fant side, so it was in fact an early 2nd round pick needed to be added to Baker to make that deal. There you go. Okay, so moving on to the second pick, the second So we got tied in now. TJ Hockenson. So we talked about Kyle Pitts. We talked about, you know, we've seen how what a boost he is. If you miss out on Kyle Pitts, there's a lot of hype about this guy, TJ Hockenson, right? You might want to get him, or you might be trying to sell TJ. And what do you think about that 108 in a Superflex startup? That's right there on that cusp we talked about. So TJ Hockenson or the 108. Remember, this means you get one of the four quarterbacks. You get one of the two top running backs. Pitts will probably not be there, or Ja'Marr Chase. So some pretty good stuff there, but you're talking about TJ Hockenson. You're talking about an elite tight end and potentially most likely outproducing Kyle Pitts year one, which we'll see what their value goes to there. So what do you think?
So I am very high on the top six picks. Then I would basically be rolling the dice that one, like that sixth pick, whoever that is, falls to eight if I'm to make that trade. So I think that I can probably get more with Hockenson because I just don't see anybody battling him for target leader for the Lions this year. And so my decision is just, I think his value is greater than the 108 right now, where I could flip him if I really want to mid season for probably a lot more.
Man, I can't believe Bill disrespected the name of Amon-Ra St. Brown, Quintez Cephas, Tyrell the Gazelle, but he's 100% right. It's TJ Hockenson. I think he is the guy that if any of the top three tight ends get injured, he's sliding into that top three. You know, even if they miss one game, as long as he's healthy as well, you know. Jared Goff is going to scan the field, and the only two targets he's going to like out there is going to be DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson. So TJ Hockenson's going to get a lot of targets, a lot of receptions. And when we're talking about the tight end position, that's what you want. If they're not catching a ton of touchdowns, you want a ton of volume. He's going to get it. So the 108, yeah, you're probably going to get a guy that you like, a guy that you heard of, but it's not going to be TJ Hockenson. So give me Hock.
And
go ahead.
And in a tight end premium, the targets are what you want, right? Like that's right. Where it differentiates. So that's an added bonus for Hockenson in this situation.
I agree. That's a good point. And Hockenson, this is the time to buy Hockenson, because if he does hit like a lot of people expect, he's going to go right into that Kittle Kelsey kind of Waller mode, and it's going to be hard to acquire. So all right, well that is a point for the Dynasty Trade Calculator. It had TJ Hockenson as just slightly rated higher than the 108, but what I found interesting was that the Dynasty Trade Calculator had the 108 considerably more valuable, almost 30 points more than TJ Hockenson. So they were kind of down on TJ Hockenson. I was surprised by that. That was an interesting thing. So now we're down to the third trade of the second round, and this might sound a little familiar to you, Bill. Alvin Kamara, were J.K. Dobbins and the 2-3. So not quite as enticing on Bill. You were expecting a little more. You got to remember that when we made that trade, they also went on to win the championship with Alvin Kamara. So they have no regrets about what they gave us. But at the same time, the values have definitely changed. We got – I don't want to spill what we got because I was kind of confused to think. But, yeah, Alvin Kamara, J.K. Dobbins, and the 2-3 in this year's class.
So I was waiting for this one because this was, you know, a little peek behind the curtain. There was a little tease in our conversation before we went live about this trade. So I thought that we were going to, I thought it was going to be a big time.
We got more than that. I'll say
you
that.
Guys
right
got
now.
More than that. All right.
We cool. got like another first in with that.
Cool. So. Okay. So, all right. Alvin, you know what? I like J.K. Dobbins, and I like really want to go on the J.K. Dobbins side, but the 203 isn't enough for me. Alvin Kamara is that dude, especially if we're talking about PPR. I mean, he's going to have 80-plus receptions because that's what he's done every year of his career. So he's going to have that. I understand that it's going to be the Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston experience there, but I think that's even more of a reason why Alvin Kamara is going to need to go into hyperdrive, because you got two quarterbacks that are, they have their flaws, so I'll put it that way. And Yeah, the 203 isn't enough. I like J.K. Dobbins. I hate saying Alvin Kamara, but that's where I got to go.
This is kind of, for both Josh and I, it sounds, probably the toughest decision of the trade so far. And I'm leaning the same way that he is. And I think that the answer is very much, when you hear my, what I'm going to say later, you'll understand why. But yeah, I mean, Kamara just shows, like, his work ethic's incredible. I don't think he's going to be the guy that's going to fade away immediately compared to, like, most running backs. You know, you just see all that work he puts in. I feel like comfortable that I'm getting multiple more years out of him. So I think I'm leaning the Kamara side.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 25 years old. It's funny how people –
26 is like the cliff usually.
25 sounds so young right now. The way when I wake up and I feel my back in the morning, 25 sounds amazing. I would love to be 25.
Yeah, but you're not going up against like these premier athletes every day.
I'm just saying. Like, let's put it in perspective. He's 25 years old.
I still wish I could shave those years off, whether I'm going against an NFL D lineman or not. I wish I could shave those years off.
Yeah, but he's in his prime. It's understandable. But like I like what you guys said, and I think I know where you're going with that, Bill. I won't spill the beans, but I think I know kind of a little bit at least. So okay, that was another point for the Dynasty trade calculator because they had Alvin Kamara at a 44.9, which is almost 45 points, and J.K. Dobbins and the 2-3 at 40.4. So it's another high second round pick difference. Where this one was really interesting to me because the Dynasty Dominator app gave the J.K. Dobbins and the 203 side an enormous advantage. J.K. Dobbins was way more valuable than Kamara straight up. So then when you add the 203, we're looking at 307 points to 188 points. So a huge difference in terms of how they see J.K. Dobbins. They're obviously, you know, going towards the age. It's obviously something to do with Baltimore. Whatever it is, that was – and so you don't agree – so we have a tie showdown. I'm loving it. You guys are doing great. This is perfect.
So I will say I think the market is very much probably on the Dobbins side, right? Because people just love young running backs. So that like they are probably reflecting the market more accurately than what I want. You know what I mean? In that trade, at least in my opinion.
Right. We're spoiled because we did get we got Dobbins plus two first-round picks for Kamara, but we got, like I said, at the end of the year. So they won the championship with Kamara. When you win a championship and you make a trade like that, there is no regrets, and there's no way that you can ever look back and say, we lost. You won that. They won that trade.
Yeah.
But we're quite happy with what we got and how it went for us. So that's you know, that was a different time, different values. It shifted.
Yeah, that's why I put it in there. Getting the elite running back mid-season, that's what you got to pay.
Yep.
On to round three. So now we're going to get back to some quarterbacks. And this time, you may want to just get one of those top guys. You want your hands on a little Justin Herbert. Or you may have Justin Herbert and you're thinking, you know, this might be a good time to sell because there's some good pieces out there. And I have good quarterbacks. And you know what? Like, he had such an amazing rookie season. We just don't know. So is it Justin Herbert or the package of Tyreek Hill, Jordan Love, Chris Carson, and that 109 again?
Yeah, I'll take this real quick. I'll take Herbert. It's pretty easy. I don't want all those pieces. I think this year, I think we're going to see it even more so just in the future. You see the difference in points per game for these top quarterbacks compared to like the ones that are a little bit more mobile and can get you yards running and that sort of thing. Like that it's just they differentiate so much that their margin of error is so much greater that it's almost like you want to start before it was, it didn't matter because like QB 5 to QB 15 was all within like 2 points per game, but there's like a major separation between the classes now. And so I think grabbing the elite quarterback is the play here.
Yeah, Bill and I are going to make it 2-for-2. You had me hooked when you said Tyreek Hill is the first piece, and I was like, all right, man, I'm ready. This is going to be a good one. And then Jordan Love got brought up, and people in Green Bay don't even like Jordan Love, so why should I? Chris Carson, I love him, but he's like the perennial kind of year-to-year guy. you're just waiting for that shoe to drop. You're waiting for them to bring someone in or draft someone to take his job. He always kind of lasts, but even during free agency, it took a little while for them to re-sign him. They let him go out there and test New England and test a couple of other spots to see if they were going to make him offers worth matching. And then the one, you know, we go back to the 109. So maybe, you know, you're recouping your quarterback, but it's Mac Jones. I mean, Justin Herbert, Mac Jones. Tyreek Hill had me hooked, but then the rest of that, you know, had me unhooked. So yeah, it's Justin Herbert. I mean, yes, there's a new coaching staff, but man, they really beefed up that offensive line, which was a major weakness. And I think they're going to shine.
All right. Well, I don't disagree with you, but I will say, I think this is interesting because this is one of those ones where when I look at Justin Herbert, I like him. I actually think that he's shown some amazing gifts, but I don't necessarily think he is a rushing quarterback. So I think there is a limit to his ceiling. And when you look at Jordan Love, if he there's a path on this other side, on the package, to have killed this trade. Like you said, if Mac Jones ends up at 1-9 and you get your floor play, and what if Mac Jones almost matches Justin Herbert, and then you get Jordan Love with the rushing upside. We talk about a rushing upside quarterback who actually pans out more than a lot of us. Like, I realize that this room is not Jordan Love supporters because I already know how Bill feels about him, and I know how I feel about him. But at the same time, like, there is that rushing upside. And then Tyreek, what I found interesting about this trade is that, so the winner of this trade is actually the Dynasty Dominator app. That's they got the point for this. It was a very close in the end. It was 391 points for Herbert, but it was still more than the package, which is 377 points. While on the other side, it was pretty much a 21-point advantage for the Tyreek package because Tyreek was worth almost as much as Herbert. Like, it was once you put Jordan Love with Tyreek, you pretty much match Justin Herbert in terms of the Dynasty trade calculator. So when you're talking about 21 points, you're talking about like 3 first round draft picks. That's crazy. Like, that's crazy to me. But either way, Tyreek and Jordan Love is what they consider to value up to Justin Herbert. And it's not crazy if Jordan Love comes out and he's a rushing quarterback and he succeeds. Now, where is those points? What kind of league do you play in? And you've got Tyreek on top, and you have Chris Carson and the 1-9, which, like I said, could be four. I just think it's interesting. I don't disagree with you guys, but I wanted to point that out, that I find it interesting that Herbert is put up with the elite production quarterbacks, but he's going to have to do it with his arm.
I think it's just his mobility a little bit. You know, he can move around and he can, you know, that's, I think, where his advantage is. I mean, he's not going to be a rushing quarterback, but the mobility is there. And I'll say this, like, and I think this is going to be a bias. I mean, it's totally a bias of mine, is when trading one piece for like a lot of pieces, I'm always going to be headed, like, looking at the shiny bright light, you know, of the one piece, just because I typically have deep teams that it's, I mean, you know, in our league. So, I mean, it's just, that's definitely a bias of mine probably during this exercise.
Yeah, I get that. And like I said, it is always about team. This is where I try to take, or at least I would like you guys to try to take out any team bias. But I get it. That is a big consideration because you're getting 3 free players off the waiver wire by adding Justin Herbert in this trade. But that's what I like about these trade calculators, is they do account for this. This is added in and some value. It's just how much, and like I said, when you're looking at your roster and trying to work all these things out, where are you willing to make your move? There is a path for the package to win, but I don't disagree with you guys. So the point goes to the Roto Underworld Dynasty Dominator app. Let's move on to the second trade of round 3. Let's talk a little running backs. This is a little bit old versus young, potential versus now. Melvin Gordon or Tony Pollard? I thought this was a good one. I thought it was interesting.
That is a good one.
Think about it. Take your time. I know you guys. I almost had you guys like write down your answers just so you wouldn't influence each other. But then I thought, you know what? Like, the bottom line is just to, like, whoever has their answer first is going to have their answer, and the second person is still thinking about it. And like, this is the game, and it's not, like I said, there's no perfect answer here. This is all about getting the process and talking it through, and just seeing what we think, and you know what's out there, what are options. So Tony Pollard, obviously, there's that upside. There's the future. He could take over Zeke. And then we got Melvin Gordon. Well, he could still be good. He might go to we don't know. It's kind of one's on an upward trajectory, one's on a downward trajectory. Where do you see them? Because I'll tell you, the two draft the two trade calculators have them quite different. And I thought that's what makes this very interesting.
So I'll start because I know Josh is struggling and I think I know where he's going to go because anyway, I will. It is a tough one. I think it's very much team dependent in whether you need somebody to contribute for sure this year or not. I feel like Melvin Gordon is that guy that will be able to put up more points this season without something happening, right? Like if Zeke's going to get used and he's going to be get used a lot this year. So as long as he's healthy, Pollard's just sitting there. And I mean, he'll get some points here and there and that sort of thing. And maybe they decide to start utilizing him more throughout the season. But I still think, with that being said, I want to take the young guy who could end up like playing longer. I don't see Melvin Gordon being that much of a difference maker this year. They just added a rookie. You know, everybody's going to think that they're going to take, you know, he's going to take snaps away from him. I've always been a Melvin Gordon fan because I always felt like he was super underrated. But again, we're getting to that cliff and I'm not sure. And he's always getting dinged up. And this is maybe a personal bias again of mine, but it always seems to be at the end of the year when you need him for the playoffs. So I think I'm going Pollard, even though, you know, probably I'm giving up points this season.
Yeah. It's so tough for me because I'm with Bill. I've been a Melvin Gordon fan since he came in and people were ragging on him after his rookie season. He didn't have any touchdowns and blah and all this stuff. And it was just like, look, like that's such a random freak occurrence that if you actually believe that that was going to be his entire career, I don't know why you drafted him. But I mean, Tony Pollard, we kind of saw the flashes when Zeke was out. He had some explosive plays and he is a good receiver of the football, which, you know, if we're talking PPR again, so I'm going to go Tony Pollard, but man, this is, to me, this is the closest kind of like 51-49 trade that I think we've had so far.
And you got to add 2 percentage points of bias due to Josh being a Cowboys fan.
I mean, that helps.
Oh, that totally makes a difference. You know, I didn't know that till before the show. When I said, what's your team? You know, where are you? Oh, you're Pennsylvania. You're a Cowboys
fan. And I've come to find out
Pennsylvania
Cowboy that,
fan. All right.
Yeah, I've come to find out that we apparently hate the Broncos because every trade we've picked the opposite side of whatever the Bronco player
that
was.
That is
about.
True, man.
Hey, fantasy, it's, you know, like I said, this is what's great about it. I really respect you guys as dynasty minds. Like, I respect how you play the game, and it's important to me to have people that are like, I know how you play because I play in leagues with you. So it's great for me to have these conversations with people that I know that, like, you're going to process this, you're going to figure out your own way, and it's like, you're not going to be swayed by the groupthink. And so I can actually get a good opinion from somebody who plays dynasty football and is going to make that choice. And then what happens, like I said, this isn't like the final referendum on anything. It's just a matter of like learning. There's a lot of learning here. So with that said, it actually is another point for the champion. Dynasty Dominator app takes another point because they had Tony Pollard at 77 points and Melvin Gordon at a measly 42.09 points. So clearly he's on the decline. And what's interesting is the Dynasty trade calculator kind of agreed with your sentiment, Bill, which was you're going to get production from Melvin Gordon and Tony Pollard is just nothing unless Zeke gets injured. So they had Tony Pollard at a 2.4, which means he's essentially a backup running back because Alexander Mattison, I think, is like a 1.7. He's like a better backup, where Melvin Gordon was a 7.2. So that's a considerable difference, almost three times as much. That was, like I said, it's really about whether you're valuing production now or you're valuing kind of this asset for the future. It looks like the champ is hanging in there with the lead. It's still a close matchup. Let's move on. Now let's do a little bit of picks. I thought it'd be interesting and kind of important to see how they value these picks. What is the value of some of these 2021 picks? Who's going to steer us right, wrong, based on your guys' kind of opinion? So, again, I'm keeping the cutoffs in mind. Do you want the 1-4 in Superflex, or do you want the 1-8 and the 2-2? So we're still in that upper tier. You, obviously not for Bill. I've come to find out that the 1-6 is actually, for me personally, the 1-8 is kind of my cutoff in Superflex. But that in that 2-2 is still getting you're in the 2-2 range. You're talking Trey Sermon, you're talking Elijah Moore, Rashad Bateman, that kind of player. What do you think?
For me, it's the 1-4. I mean, Bill goes 6, I go 7, so we're not that far off with the top of the draft. I mean, for me, it's, you know, whatever order of the first 4 QBs, Chase, Pitts, and Harris. So that's my 7. So I'm not there dropping to the 1-8. And honestly, at the 1-4, I'm probably getting a quarterback I really like. So we're talking super flex. 1-8 is probably, you know, Javonte, maybe Travis Etienne. I like them both, but and then the 2-2. I mean, we had what the 203 in the listener league, and we got Elijah Moore, who I really like a lot. But nah, man, give me, you know, the possibility of Justin Fields or Trey Lance, and that, like, let's go. Like, I like both of those guys a lot. So,
yep. Nah, I mean,
I love that answer. Actually,
I mean, that's pretty much where I am. I mean, it's this is a year where if you want to, I mean, you want to get as high up in the draft as possible, in my opinion. You know, you want to get into that top tier, and I did misspeak when I said the 6. It is 7, and because it is the top 4 QBs and then the 1 at each position, in my opinion. So after that, like, I'm not a big fan of. I mean, I'm not a big fan of, like, the second and third running back or Mac Jones. Like, I'll draft them, but I'm not, like, gonna, like, move up to get those guys. So
I know this answer, but just to clarify, that would be Najee Harris as your number one. You don't, so you're not interested in Travis Etienne or Javonte Williams.
Yeah, I'm not going out of my way to draft them. And actually, until a draft I did yesterday, so, and I have 20 leagues, the only running back, I only had Najee Harris. I never drafted Etienne or Javonte Williams. And that might have been, you know, just where my picks were and it didn't match up or whatever. I always felt like people were drafting them earlier than I would.
Understandable. All right. So that is actually a point for the contender. We are getting close. It's staying close. 5-4.
Good. I'm glad we're doing that.
We're moving to the fourth round, folks. Let's talk some more quarterback. Ryan Tannehill. Now, and this is before, you know, I put this together. And I did go back and I checked the A.J. Brown values. I checked a few of these values today to make sure that nothing changed. Give these guys the opportunity to, if they're on it and they make their quick change, it's there. I'm going to make the adjustment. Ryan Tannehill. So we're talking quarterback here. Or the package. Mark Andrews. Jimmy Garoppolo. Jamal Williams. And Gerald Everett. So you got one quarterback. You got Mark Andrews, Jimmy G, Jamal Williams, Gerald Everett.
I mean, I think Bill and I are both going to agree on this. It's Ryan Tannehill, and this was even pre-Julio. You know, I think we have, you know, as a community, we have slammed Ryan Tannehill because, you know, he just does it with efficiency, and it's not this, and it's not that. And guess what? He's done it 2 years in a row. He's doing it in the scheme of the offense. I mean, hopefully the new offensive coordinator doesn't come in and try to make it completely different. But if it's, you know, pound Henry and be efficient with Ryan Tannehill, he's going to keep doing what he's been doing. And honestly, just from being in a bunch of leagues and wanting as much Ryan Tannehill as I can get, Ryan Tannehill owners aren't trading him unless you are offering up a very lucrative deal. So give me Ryan Tannehill.
God, we are just on the – this. What? Don't listen to our show, apparently, because we all have the same opinions.
We argue more on everything. Our show.
Jeez, this is just a terrible exercise for us. Poor advertising. Yeah, I agree. Again, it's the thing, you know, it's adding all these pieces. I mean, I like Jamal Williams as a potential, you know, zero RB kind of guy. I think he is going to get decent volume for being the second running back. I mean, But then you got the concern of, did they sign, are they going to sign Ty Gurley? The big news of them bringing Gurley in and stuff like that. So the pieces aren't enough for me to move away from a quarterback I feel comfortable being around for a little while. I do like Mark Andrews. I think he's undervalued at the moment because everybody was just had such high expectations last year that, you know, that does interest me, but just, it doesn't interest me adding four pieces to my roster. And that's going to be, you know, like I said, that's just going to be the theme from with me.
All right. It's interesting. Yeah. I think that this is, I am surprised a little bit just because I know how much you love Mark Andrews. So that tells me a lot. I think, you know, it's all about quarterback value. I do find it interesting with Ryan Tannehill that he is like 32 years old and doesn't get the treatment of some 30-year-old quarterbacks because people kind of see him as younger. He didn't get his opportunity quite as quick. There is, you know, it's like how you perceive somebody matters. And for some reason, Tannehill gets perceived as younger than he is, at least in my opinion, how I see it. But I thought this was interesting. So the point goes to the champion again. I think the champion is drubbing the trade calculator in terms of quarterback values. It seems like in terms of you guys valuing quarterbacks and in terms of the way they're valuing, it's matching up very well. That is a big part of this battle. It seems like you're lining up very well with their quarterback values because Ryan Tannehill was valued at 263 points and that entire package was 194 points. I kept adding players just to try to get that package somewhere close where the other side is 34 points to 28 points. So it was pretty much a match with Mark Andrews and Jimmy G. And I think that's what it really comes down to is Mark Andrews was valued very, very highly with the Dynasty Trade Calculator. You're talking about a premier tight end in terms of potentially. And Ryan Tannehill, you know, is the rushing. I could see kind of where they're coming from at the same time. You guys are, you know, I don't disagree with you either that Ryan Tannehill is a valuable asset. I know the Julio news probably skews this and made it almost impossible for Ryan Tannehill to lose this trade. But at the same time, like you said, you did say pre-Julio, it probably would have been the same. I think it makes a big difference. Honestly, like now I see Tannehill as being like, okay, because they had Julio, they had AJ Brown and nothing else. It was kind of like, who is he going to throw to? Is he really going to sit there and do play action passes the first cure-all game? I don't think it's going to turn into huge fantasy points. Now you add Julio and the whole dynamic has changed. So I think that they're definitely mentally the Tannehills, and it might have affected this whole thing. We might look back 3 days from now and both trade calculators have adjusted, whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, they're valuing how they're valuing them now and we're valuing how we're valuing them now. And let's move to the second trade here in the fourth round. Talk a little wide receiver. I thought this one was interesting. Juju Smith-Schuster. So would you rather have Juju or would you rather have a mid first round pick from next year, just potentially 8-7-8 kind of from next year? What are you thinking?
I'll take the pick. That's pretty easy for me, honestly. Like it's just, again, it's the wide receiver thing. I mean, Juju showed that he can be a higher end wide receiver, but I'd much rather have the flexibility of using that pick to get a different position if I want to, or I can, it's easier to trade a pick in season for something I need for a playoff run. So I would much rather just make that move and hope for the best during the season and, you know, just have that flexibility.
Yeah. It's closer for me than it was for Bill, but I think I'm going to go pick as well. Juju not signing in Kansas City was kind of strange to me. Just because I'm thinking, even if all the deals, which it seemed all the deals were 1 year deals, I would want to go to, I'd want to go to Kansas City, catch a bunch of passes in that offense and kind of raise my stock for next season. So him, I mean, maybe he was comfortable in Pittsburgh. Maybe, you know, that's where he kind of has his life set up since he's been playing there the last few years. But who knows where Juju's going to end up next year? Does he go back to Pittsburgh again after everyone said he wouldn't do it last time? Or does he end up on a team that maybe has too many options? I don't know. Juju's decision-making process during that whole thing has kind of freaked me out. So give me the pick. I know we're all saying that 2022 picks are not going to be as valuable as picks have been the last couple years. But then, you know, you're going to have, you know, a guy like Zach Wilson who comes out of nowhere and ends up in that first round. And, you know, we're going to be talking about guys in 2022 that we're not talking about right now as first round picks. So give me the mid first and, you know, I'll take my chances with it.
The champ has got the trade calculator on the ropes, folks, because that was the trade. You know, that was interesting. I found this to be we're going to talk, maybe we'll kind of like sum it up later. One of the weaknesses seems to me with the trade calculator is the quarterback maybe not being valuable enough, and also the draft picks maybe not being valuable, because they've got Juju at 15.6 and they've got that future first at 6.5 points. So you're looking at almost needing another first round pick. Wow. It seems to me like that is not matching up with my, I feel the same way with you. Like, I like Juju, but when we're talking about quarterbacks, we're talking about running backs, we're talking about potential tight ends, and you're talking about a wide receiver who has not proven himself, has not shown that he is the elite. He's kind of he got an $8 million contract. Corey Davis got a $13 million contract, and Juju got an $8 million contract, and he chose to stay with, like you say, why didn't you go to the Chiefs? Like, what are you talking about? I'm glad he didn't. I'm a Mecole Hardman, you know, truther to the end. I was very glad that Juju didn't go there. But at the same time, it was like, you chose to stay there. Okay. Like, they've shown you no reason that they're really wanting to keep you. They paid you $8 million. Anyway, I'm not trying to put my – honestly, like, I've been really good about not putting my opinion in on this. I'm really wanting to allow myself to be the host. You guys have decided this, but I couldn't help myself there. I want to kind of elaborate for the listeners to try to get an understanding of what we're looking at with these trade calculators. So when you use these type of things, try to get a gauge of what it actually means compared to other value propositions out there, so that you might just catch somebody who doesn't value first-round picks because they're looking at their trade calculator and it says it's way less value, or they, you know, all different types of things. So let's move to the next third and final trade of the fourth round. This is a little running back wide receiver thing, and I've kind of already got the sense that you guys and your wide receivers, but just listen. You might not hate this one. Robbie Anderson, you know, you got no Curtis Samuel there now. I think he's getting a little undervalued. Or Damian Harris. So we don't know quite what's going to happen with Damian Harris. There's that potential for big production, or there's a potential for him to just be another Patriots back and maybe, you know, maybe part of a committee or worse. What do you think?
All right. So we talked about wide receivers being a dime a dozen, but I'm going to go with the wide receiver here. For me, it's Robbie. We saw that, you know, his old college coach Matt Rhule knew how to use him besides just going deep and hoping that Sam Darnold, who is now his current quarterback, can just wing it and it lands in his hands. You know, used them in a lot of different ways last year, which I really liked, because I thought that was just going to be Robbie Anderson for the rest of his career. A nine guy, go deep, and, you know, maybe he gets you one or two explosive plays a game and that's it. And Matt Rhule was like, no, I had Robbie Anderson at Temple. I actually know what this guy can do. So Damian Harris, I'm high on Damian Harris, but it's New England, man. They're already starting to talk up Ramondre Stevenson. They're, you know, they still have Sony Michel in house. We just never know what that backfield is going to look like from game to game, from play to play. We don't know who's going to be out there. So give me Robbie. They do have Terrace Marshall that they drafted this year who could maybe steal some stuff, but give me Robbie. I like Robbie.
This is so boring.
Guys, it's not boring. Listen to me. This is action. If you guys disagree, we get no points. This is like punches are being landed right here. You guys are creating a dynamic where there's actually agreement. And these two trade calculators are completely in disagreement. Yeah. So the fact that you two are agreeing on something helps me decipher between two things that are in disagreement. So I'm loving it. I actually love it.
Yeah.
I'm getting points at everyone.
I just hate to agree with Josh all the time. It drives me crazy. So like we both agree that it's more fun when we get in the little debates and stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I agree. Like it's one of these things where it's like, okay, I am a little uncomfortable with Robbie E. Anderson because, you know, they draft Terrace Marshall and they signed David Moore. I mean, those are, David Moore is no crap wide receiver. I mean, he's decent. So who knows, right? There's more people there that can catch a pass. And but yeah, I mean, New England backfield just drives me insane every year. Like, I mean, and you know, it's just a matter of picking the right games for Damian Harris, you know, and, or unless something completely changes with their philosophy, and I'm not necessarily sure that's ever going to happen. So, yeah.
All right, I like it. So we the contender is fighting back. That was a point for the Dynasty Trade Calculator now. So Robbie Anderson, they had him at 9.4, while they had Damian Harris at 3.7. So kind of just above what we're talking about when they had Pollard in the 2.5 range. They're giving him some credit, but they're still putting him as basically a backup, where Robbie Anderson is getting some value as a potential producer, a player that is kind of like a key part in that offense. And where the Roto Underworld, the Dynasty Dominator app, had Damian Harris at 66 points and Robbie Anderson at 53 points. So I think it's interesting. I think one of the things that maybe the weakness of the Roto Underworld podcast app is that it's they're valuing some of these running backs like Damian Harris, Mike Davis, as a little more valuable than maybe the consensus is. Like that might be their weakness. I don't know. Like I said, I try to point these things out is to see, like, comparatively to at least your view and also my view as well, where they are there. So yes, that is another point for the Dynasty Trade Calculator. We are 7-5 moving into the final round, which has five picks here. And I also have an extra one just in case and some other ways that I could kind of work this out. But either way, it's just for fun. Even if we tied, that'd be fantastic. I love it. So the first trade in the fifth round here is Sam Darnold or Myles Gaskin. So you got Sam Darnold, some questions there with Darnold and the quarterback, or Myles Gaskin, another player who has some questions. Both are somewhat at, you know, there's some scarcity at those positions. What are you thinking?
So I'm a big Sam Darnold guy, and I think that him going to a coaching staff that knows how to coach with weapons that can actually play, it is going to do wonders for him. And I'm not saying anything crazy, like he's going to be top 10 or anything like that. But I think you're going to see a lot of improvement. And all the analytics people in the community are going to crush me because they can come up with 100 analytics on why Sam Darnold is like one of the worst quarterbacks ever. But we talking about Adam Gase here. We all have our jokes, but we've all seen players leave his system and blossom. You know, he is linking back up, you know, who we talked about in the last trade, Robbie Anderson, but he has DJ Moore. I mean, they drafted Terrace Marshall in the second round. So obviously he's getting surrounded, you know, with weapons. You have Christian McCaffrey, who, you know, we all agree is, you know, RB1, you know. So he's going from having, you know, Jamison Crowder as his wide receiver one to DJ Moore. I mean, that's a big jump, you know, from what, LaMichael Perine to Christian McCaffrey. That's a, you know, Grand Canyon size, you know, leap in talent there. So, you know, I like Myles Gaskin. I think he's good for 2021. But the Panthers have picked up his fifth year option, so he's going to be there for at least 2 years. So give me the QB.
Yeah, I agree. It's really hard to pass up. They both have question marks long term. And so Gaskin, seventh round pick, like, I mean, how much, like, it kind of at least feels like they're not going to value the running back position, right? Like, they're going to use whoever's going to perform. And so that might be a positive for Gaskin. I think that I always get concerned trying to overvalue players when they have a small sample of good performance. And I mean, the one positive is that most of Gaskin's performance was early in the season. So at least it was against fresh defenses. You know, there's no excuse. Like, it's not the end of year thing where you have a fresh running back coming in performing against tired defenses. So like, he has that going for him. Yeah, I mean, I like Darnold a little bit. I mean, I just don't give him – I give him a little bit of a pass because of the whole Adam Gase thing, like Josh said. So, yeah, I'll take the quarterback.
All right, so we have the contender fighting back again. I thought this one was interesting because – after all the domination of the Dynasty Dominator with quarterbacks, they somehow did not value Sam Darnold very highly, and they value Myles Gaskin at a 99.12. So somehow in their brain trust, they feel like Myles Gaskin has more than 2021 in store. At least that's the way it's looking. Where Sam Darnold was only an 86.73, which is pretty low for a starting quarterback in Superflex. Where if you look at the Dynasty trade calculator, it was a 17.4 for Sam Darnold and a 7.5 for Myles Gaskin. Huge difference, 10-point difference. That's like a first and a late second or first and middle second round difference. So they definitely agreed with you on the Sam Darnold. So we are – it's getting close. It's getting close. I'm loving it. Trade number two, round five. So we're going to mix in a little bit of picks again and some wide receivers, maybe an upgrade, maybe production versus youth here. You prefer in Kenny Galladay – or are you preferring the 112 and Jalen Reagor?
That's pretty easy for me. I'm a little concerned about Galladay long term. So, like, and that could just be a Lions fan that felt like he really didn't put any effort last year. You know, he just always claimed injury. And but then he played. And yeah, it's just one of these things that I question his motives. Like, it was all financial. And but I get it. As a player, you got to do you. So I think Reagor still has a chance. And so I'm totally cool rolling the dice on him. I mean, it's not like we can say Galladay for sure is going to be this target hog going to a new team. So there's unknown there. There's unknown with Reagor, and you get a first round pick. So who could end up being, you could get another good wide receiver to throw in with that. So I think I am on the Reagor side.
Man. Josh? This is tough, Sonny, because you gave me a piece on each side that I really don't like, that I'm probably lower on than the consensus.
You don't like picks?
I said one on each side. You got to listen to the words I'm saying, Bill.
I listen.
He hates the 112. Everybody hates the 112. Nobody likes the 112.
No.
I've kept joking, obviously.
Yeah, we know that's the only piece you like. We understand.
I mean, I've spoken out about this on the timeline. I think we are just expecting Kenny Galladay to take this massive leap into, you know, superstardom, because now he's in New York, you know. There's no more TJ Hockenson. There's no more Marvin Jones. You know, you have Sterling Shepherds and, you know, Evan Ingrams, who, you know, we've kind of been low on, some based on performance, some based on injury. Jalen Reagor, I didn't like before the pre-draft process. And now that he is in Philly, I mean, obviously Devonta Smith is the wide receiver one there. I don't even think that's a question. Dallas Goedert may be the best passing option for 2021. So you're talking about the third option on a team with a quarterback that a lot of people love, me not so much. But I don't think the 112 is enough for Kenny Galladay. So we're going to do the disagreement here finally. I'm going to go Kenny Galladay. Even though I like the 112, I think Kenny Galladay is better than Jalen Reagor and possibly and Jalen Waddle or something like that. So that's where I'm at.
And the Fighters finally tie up in the fifth round. I was like, as this punches, no one's even trying to defend. There was no tying of nothing. It was just punch, punch, punch. Finally a tie. Okay, so this was interesting. I you know, so the Kenny G was the Dynasty trade calculator side. They had him valued at 20 points. Where the package was 13.7, so considerably more for the Kenny G side, and the Roto Underworld Dynasty Trade Calculator app, or the Dynasty Dominator app, sorry, is 148 to 102, so pretty much like a 50% boost. So not quite as extreme, but both of them, you know, pretty sideably on each side. So it's one of those conversations that we all have. You don't never know. It depends on what your team roster makeup is. Depends on how you feel about Kenny Galladay and his production this year. So. Yeah, it's great. We got finally a tie. This is the first first disagreement. This is, like I said, this is
great. At least had one.
Yes, we got a good fight here. If it was a bunch of disagreements, then it's like the two trade calculators disagree, yeah, like, and both you guys disagree. Right. And then we just have like, we get no clarity at all. At least I have like some consensus. And you're not agreeing with either trade calculator consistently.
Exactly.
You're agreeing with both of them on different plays. This is the whole point of it. I think it's really is exactly what I'm trying to find out. Who cares who wins at this point? We've already succeeded just learning about these players. So we're moving to trade number three. Remember, we have five trades, and I actually have another one in case we need it. We talk a little running back, maybe some running back upgrade. So do you want Derrick Henry, the King Henry, the guy, the beast, or do you want Joe Mixon and Mecole Hardman?
This is easy for me. I'm going with the King. You can King me. Now, you know, he was doing what he was doing when defenses only had to worry about A.J. Brown. And I know you did this, you know, pre-Julio Jones trade. But, you know, now with Julio there, and even if Julio wasn't there, I mean, we've seen what he's done with just A.J. Brown. So, yeah, give that to me. Joe Mixon. It seems like by the time he retires from, you know, at least fantasy relevance, we're going to be talking about the talent that wasn't realized. I mean, there always seems to be a reason why Joe Mixon hasn't ascended to one of those, you know, top five, top seven running backs. And Mecole Hardman, I know you're a big Mecole guy, Sonny. I'm just kind of meh. Mecole, I don't want to say I don't like him because I think, you know, he can do some things, but I'm just kind of meh on him. So give me Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I love the idea of Joe Mixon. Like, I really do. But that's all I love about Joe Mixon is the idea. Like, every year, like, you know, so I'm a Michigan State guy, love Le'Veon Bell. They compared him to Le'Veon Bell. So he was a guy that I always paid attention to. You know, just see, but he just has not, whatever reason, and there's always an excuse, and I get it, but after 4 years, you got to say, okay, like, I want to just take the points. And I mean, if I get one monster year out of King Henry, even just a top, you know, an RB1, honestly, like, I'm totally content with that. So, yeah, it's Derrick Henry pretty easily for me, just because I know what I'm getting.
Interesting. You know, it's funny for me because every time I think PPR, and it's Derrick Henry, as much as like I've been wrong on him, he's proved me wrong so many times, like two or at least 3 years in a row, to think that I would go against him again. But at the same time, the PPR, definitely you have to consider that. With Joe Mixon, he's also younger, considerably younger. And then you'd be getting Mecole. And I understand why you guys, like, I don't blame anybody for looking past Mecole at this point. At the same time, if you look at his numbers, it's not like he's come out and completely disappointed. He's done his first season, he almost put up Tyreek type numbers. And his second season, he just didn't like produce any more than that. He didn't like progress to that next level. But that might have just been a decision making thing. I'm going to allow another year. After that, I can't see that this opportunity, because he's in year three, he's going to year four. He was a second round pick. He doesn't have that fifth year. And if he moves on to another team, it feels a lot less enticing. Even though it doesn't seem like Patrick Mahomes has really made that much use of his number two wide receiver. It seems like Tyreek and Travis Kelce have been his number one guys, and you can't rely quite as much on what you would think would be this amazing opportunity. It's almost like they do produce, but that in some ways it's the third guy, the fourth guy, that, you know, there's so many other people that get in the mix that Mahomes produces, but you don't necessarily have a third guy that he lifts. So I'm still open to it. I put him in there partially just because I was looking for the matchup and points. And you know, like I said, I love these names. I love putting certain names out there just to see, where is he at now? What kind of people value him? So you both went ahead, and that is tied this match up. We are tied because that was a point to the contender.
Exciting.
They have a Derrick Henry at 35.6 and the package of Mixon and Hardman at 30.7. So a good 5 points more. While the Roto Underworld Dynasty Dominator actually had Mixon and worth slightly more than Henry straight up. So clearly, that just like with the J.K. Dobbins, they kind of value that youth, possibly the PPR as well. And then adding the Hardman just made it to 202.93 to 156. So a pretty good edge on that side. So we are tied heading into the final couple trades. Eric, let's get some tight end in here. This is, I think this is an interesting conversation. This one may not be fair to add in here, and I'm going to kind of see where we go here because it's really based on your opinion on certain players. But George Kittle or Miles Sanders?
This is the easiest one for me yet. So it's Kittle without a doubt for me. So high volume tight end, you know, I still believe he's the number one target in San Francisco. Just a tight end premium. And I think what we've seen from Miles Sanders is what we're going to get. And I mean, that's fine. But I think that having an elite tight end is so, such a huge advantage that I'll take Kittle.
Bill nailed it. It's Kittle. I mean, when you're the number one receiving option on your team at the tight end position, it opens up so much more. And Miles Sanders is, you know, it comes back to if the team doesn't believe in you, I don't know how I can believe in you. Philly this offseason has drafted Kenny Gainwell. They've picked up, from Detroit.
Let's not even count him. Kerryon?
Kerryon, but I mean, they picked him up. They said, want you.
And Jordan Howard. They added back Jordan Howard as well.
Howard. They still have Boston Scott there who has gotten work in his time in Philly. I mean, that just shows me that the team does not believe that he can be the guy, the number one guy, and take the lion's share of that work. So George Kittle is going to take, as long as he's healthy, take the lion's share of that work. So it's Kittle pretty easy for me too.
Yeah, I feel like the champ just put their left hand down and let themselves just take a massive right hook on this one because I couldn't believe this when I saw this. When I saw that George Kittle was less valuable by 20 points, which is not that much, but it's like a Darrington Evans type player, than Miles Sanders was. So they're giving Miles Sanders 151 points and George Kittle a measly 132 at a tight end premium. I was shocked by that. I honestly was very biased when I saw this, but I couldn't believe that it was such a difference and I needed to get some confirmation on this. Like I said, I feel like the champ just let their guard down. They put their arm down and they took a massive right hook on this one because George Kittle, according to the Dynasty Trade Calculator, is worth 38.3 points. And Miles Sanders, in my opinion, is still overvalued at a 24.4, which is huge numbers. When you're talking about all the things we just mentioned in terms of a running back and concerns, I want nothing to do with Miles Sanders on any of these values, but they were at least considerably higher on George Kittle. So somebody has just taken the lead, has fought back. The contender has got the champ on the ropes with just a couple more questions to go, folks. These ones are a little simpler. Actually, this one's a little simpler than the last one. I'm going to bring in one last one to try to just we give this a full, see if we can get some real confirmation here. So this is a wide receiver versus a tight end. One is on the upswing. One's maybe a little disappointed. I have some feelings on this, but don't worry about how I feel. Henry Ruggs or Adam Troutman? Adam Troutman or Henry Ruggs?
Man. All right. I wasn't in on the Ruggs hype pre-draft. But I mean, we're talking about Adam Troutman. We mentioned earlier, you know, there's going to be an interesting QB experience to be had in New Orleans this year. Obviously, Michael Thomas is going to get his, and everyone else is kind of just a crapshoot. And it was even a crapshoot when Drew Brees was there, you know, besides maybe Jared Cook flashing in some games. So I'm going to take Ruggs, even though I'm surprised when Henry Ruggs was the first guy you said that I would go with him. But yeah, I'm going to go wide receiver here, even with the premium, and take that.
So Adam Troutman was a player that I wanted to get during drafts last year, and him going to New Orleans was definitely intriguing. And you know, thinking, okay, when Jared Cook leaves, that's exciting. That's interesting. But I think that you're getting a first round wide receiver, you know, I mean, even if whatever you want to say about him, like, I think that it's his second season. I mean, I can't get, and this is the same thing with Rager in the previous trade. It's like, I think people, you still got to give the guy a chance, and who knows, right? Like, this isn't a really important year for me to decide on how I feel about these wide receivers, but I'm not willing to just throw them in the waste bin right now. So I'm totally cool taking Ruggs here.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I personally, you know, I'm how biased. I have so much for Henry Ruggs.
I was trying to go the other way just because I knew you're biased. So.
Honestly, like, I am so, I just feel like people are going to just shut their mouths this year. He's going to be the number one receiver on the Raiders, and people are going to be like, oh, yeah, I really wish I would have gotten some Henry Ruggs this offseason when everybody gave up. But I'm just going to leave it at that. All right, let's just leave it at that. But so
Josh wants to talk about a different wide receiver on that team.
Oh, Brian Edwards. Come on. I mean, like, that's fine. Let me ask you this. This is what's funny about this. Let's talk about the Brian Edwards real quick. Because everybody wants to just say how great a value Brian Edwards was and how disappointing Henry Ruggs was. But the reality is Henry Ruggs went in the late first, if not early second, in a lot of drafts. And Henry Ruggs went literally into the middle of the second round. So you're talking about the value. When you took Brian Edwards, you had to take him a few picks, 5, 6, 7 at the most, behind Henry Ruggs. So it's not like there's some huge difference in value. And in terms of talent, there's just a huge, vast difference. Brian Edwards didn't show up on the field. Henry Ruggs was on the field all the time. He might not got at the passes, but they used him as a decoy, and they used him. He was on the field. Talk to me.
Listen, I agree with you. And my argument for Brian Edwards is never about value. Even now, it's not about value, because obviously Brian Edwards, you can get for a much cheaper price even now than Henry Ruggs. And I don't think either guy proved anything on the field last year. Brian Edwards got hurt, but, you know, yard per catch, which is, you know, I like those guys that can make those big plays. And that was supposed to be the Henry Ruggs deal. He was supposed to be the big play guy that, you know, and Brian Edwards is a big play guy. Now, the injuries, you know, if he can't clean that up, it's not going to matter what he can do big play wise, because teams aren't going to, you know, especially.
He wasn't injured last year. Was he injured last year?
He missed some games last year.
Might have been nicked up, but he was not.
Brian Edwards?
Yeah.
Yeah, he went into the season with his foot. He had like a messed up foot.
Then he got a grade 2 ankle sprain.
He must have got injured in practice, not on the field. I'm just saying. I don't know if he ever made it on the field to get in. I'm hating, but I'm just saying. If we want to talk that debate, it's not like he was, you know, any more usable. And in fact, much less usable. Let's just see. I love the conversation.
Yeah,
I love
man.
The challenge. Let's find out. I'm all on Henry Ruggs, and
it'll
I'm
be okay John Brown.
I'm definitely biased. I know that's what everyone thinks. So we'll see. Let's let it play out.
I mean, okay, it's Darren Waller, but
of course, well, it is. Right. Yes.
Yeah, and very much in correct the Kittle mold there. As we talked there.
Exactly.
So we have a new champion, folks. That was the Dynasty Trade Calculator landing the knockout blow. Wow. Because Henry Ruggs was valued at 7 points, which to me is still not quite fair enough. But, you know, Robbie Anderson, 9.4. I'll take Ruggs over Robbie Anderson. But they gave Troutman a measly 2.5 points. They don't value Troutman like some people value him. They still think of him as you know, part of that, because he isn't even listed as a starting tight end if you look at the Saints. But it's all about how you see his future, you know, moving down the pike. So we got Adam Troutman for the Dynasty Dominator app at 72.39, and they just totally disrespected my boy at 56.88, which is not a good score. That's not a good score. They don't like Henry Ruggs, but that is it. I'm going to give you one more trade. We've already got the answer, but I had this one more trade. I want to just give it to you guys. One more quarterback talk. I love me some Joe Burrow. I'm trying to add Joe Burrow. Some people find him, you know, I think because of the knee injury and stuff, there's some, and he's not, I think with, we just started to talk about Herbert, you know, there's not that rushing potential, but I think you're going to find that there's this huge floor, and a guy who can actually throw 40 touchdowns is not that common. And I think we're talking about a guy who could potentially throw 40 touchdowns. Not that I want to build it all up on one side or the other, but let's talk about Joe Burrow. Way to
skew our answer.
Well, the match is over now. I threw one extra in there. The match is already over. It's been decided. You guys decided. Joe Burrow or Nick Chubb and Deebo Samuel. So this is kind of a high-end running back and a good wide receiver piece, or this quarterback. So it may vary and depend on your roster construction, but just say you have enough quarterbacks to move Joe Burrow. Nick Chubb and Deebo going to do it for you?
Why don't you go first, Bill?
I mean, it could. You know, that would be intriguing. I mean, what was it? Like, Nick Chubb was still like an RB1. and missing games. And I mean, it was he was pretty incredible last year. And Debo's no joke. I mean, who's to say that he doesn't take over what Ayuk did last year? You know, I mean, they're both very similar players. I mean, I don't necessarily expect that, but it's not out of the, you know, realm of happening. So, but I take Joe Burrow. I think, like, I love Joe Burrow. Like, I mean, he's like, super, you know, how some Joe, people love, man, Baker Mayfield. Like, I love Joe Burrow like that. Like, he's just my guy. You know what I mean? Like, I just love how cool the dude is. And so I overvalue him. It was like Juju a few years ago. You know, it was like, the guy's just having a great time playing. You know, he's just somebody I want to root for. So there are concerns about his knee. It is going to limit his mobility, because he did have a decent – he was a much more mobile quarterback than Tua. Gained a lot more rushing yards in college the same year. You know, it's – so, I mean, that is part of his game. It's not – he's not looking to run immediately. So biggest concern is, does it affect his mobility within the pocket? Because that's where he's special. But I've gone on way too long just to answer Burrow.
Bill and I are going to agree. Unlike the Kenny Golladay trade, you picked three players that I love in this one. So it made it a little bit more difficult. But, you know, Zach Taylor, you can say whatever you want about him as a head coach, but he comes from that Sean McVay tree. Obviously, last year they had Burrow out there just slinging the ball all over the place. I mean, he was averaging a million pass attempts a game. I like that in my quarterback, and he's just so good. They bolstered the offensive line, not to the extent that the Chargers did, obviously. They still have some work to do, but it's much better than it was last year. And, you know, they add Ja'Marr Chase on top of that. They're just giving him more weapons to work with. Yeah, man, give me Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be very good for a very long time.
I don't even need to tell you what the breakdown was. I made a trade similar to this, so it was partially just me trying to figure out if I felt better about it. Yeah, I traded Nick Chubb and Damian Harris for Joe Burrow and Curtis Samuel. And I felt great about it, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, you know, I'm trying to get my hands on Joe Burrow in every single league. And I was like, I don't even have that many running backs. You want Nick Chubb? You can have Nick Chubb. I want Joe Burrow. I need as many shares of Joe Burrow as I can get. I feel like this is the season. This is the offseason. The knee injury is leaving a little bit of doubt, but that dude, his work ethic, the way he throws, his accuracy. Have you seen some of the...
Yeah, his accuracy.
He can throw the deep ball accurate too. I mean, he's sitting there just hitting his targets. This kid is just like, he's got all the things that we want in a quarterback. He wants it too.
Yeah, it's his precision. It's like it's not just that he gets the ball to the wide receiver. It's where he gets the ball to the wide receiver. It's like right where they just have to reach out and grab it. It's always on the correct side for leverage. Like if the defender's on the, you know, the left of the receiver, the ball's going to his right. Yeah, it's just incredible, his ball placement. And that's what really, you know, sold me on him being a special quarterback.
Yeah, and totally. And go ahead, Josh.
Bill said it perfectly. I mean, he can hit you in stride blindfolded. It's just amazing. He just knows where you're going to be before you know where you're going to be. And like Bill says, whether you need inside or outside leverage, whether you need it over the shoulder, whether he knows that, you know, I mean, John Ross, I'm just using this because it's a speed example. But, you know, he knows he can, you know, overthrow it by 5 yards because you're going to be blazing down the field. And it's still going to be in stride, even though you're like, oh, I think he overthrew that guy. And then all of a sudden, that guy's wide open. He's catching it, and he's running it for a touchdown. I mean, he does everything well. There's not even a part of his game that I'm like, I don't like this. Like, every part
he's getting the distance too. He's working on his hip strength and everything, just like Brady did. He's already getting his arm stronger. And I thought it was so telling when Justin Jefferson was asked about Cousins and Joe Burrow, and immediately starts. It's like imagine it's like somebody started talking about their ex girlfriend right in front of their girlfriend, and just like raving about, oh, she's so this. I felt so uncomfortable watching it. I was like, oh my god, he is just talking about his old quarterback and how Joe was so cool and how he stands in the pocket and everything. I was like, that is telling when the guy who just him 1400 yards and he can't even help himself, but the credit Super Joe Burrow. It's beautiful. So yeah, anyway, sorry to gush, and we were all gushing over him. I love it. It's like perfect for that's kind of I just love Burrow, and I know
I will.
He's a handsome man. He's Joe Cool. I love his person. Like you said, he's like Tom Brady, but he's actually cool. Like Tom Brady's a robot, and I listen to Joe Burrow, like, this is cool. He's just he's laid back, and I think his teammates love him. It's just I'm all in on Joe Burrow. Okay, we've already held you guys for so long. Let's get to – give me your bold takes for 2021. Let's bring it in. Let's wrap this thing up. And we'll talk – we'll finalize this little trade thing. But, yeah, let's get to the bold takes. Give me some bold takes here.
I was thinking about this. I'm really bad at bold takes. I'll say that because my expectations are never in line with like most people's, but like my bold take, I think this year is we're going to be disappointed in the second year running back class as a whole. I think that, I think everybody's inflating them and their expectations so greatly that I think that, you know, I mean, we're going to see one or two of those guys do well, but I think that as a whole, if we look at like what the expectations are right now compared to what happens through the season, I believe that we will be disappointed as a whole.
That's a good one.
That's an interesting one. I like that. That's very interesting. And I
figure that's pretty bold because we all love all those running backs.
I can see it. I can see it at the same time. Like it is bold because the odds of all those guys. I even see Clyde Edwards-Helaire even impressing more than people are giving him credit for. Like, I honestly am kind of like leaning the other way. Like, I feel like they're all going to be good. Even James Robinson. Well,
you're like everybody, right?
Yeah,
like, it's so, true. Like, and I probably like truly believe that as well. But like, yeah, I could see it go the other way. Totally. Sure. So.
When I did my startup draft look, just the breakdown this last episode, it really was interesting to me when I started looking at that. There's literally like two rounds of really good running backs. So it's like you two full rounds of legit top 24 type running backs. It makes it – that's what's pushing everything. And then the quarterbacks and the wide receivers just fill it out even more. So what do you think, Josh? What you got for me?
All right. So I got two here, and I'll actually start my second one since Bill mentioned second-year running backs, and both of mine are about specific players. In the NFC East, which I didn't realize it until I actually started writing them down, Bill is lower on the second year running backs, but one guy I am higher on probably than consensus, Antonio Gibson. He is going to be a running back one this season. We talk about, you know, JD McKissick was stealing passing down work last year and all this stuff. But just like kind of pouring through his stats because he's a guy I liked, but I was thinking maybe I was just, you know, way too high on him. Three out of his last five games, he averaged more than 5.7 yards a carry. And one of those games, he was like 2 for 14. He got hurt and he had to leave and he was gone for the next 2 weeks. So I didn't even count that one as doing that. And he only had 36 receptions last year. Like, this is a guy we were talking about, you know, was a wide receiver, the pass catching chops that he has. I think that's going to increase. We all know Ryan Fitzpatrick is just YOLO. He's just going to throw it to the first guy that's open. And I think that even though they, you know, got better with Curtis Samuel and then they drafted, I think Antonio Gibson's going to be that guy, and I think he's going to rack it up in a much better Washington offense. So, yeah, I think he's going to be a running back one, and I don't know if a lot of people would agree with that. But
I think he's right on the border. Let me ask you this: can you give him top six? Can you give him top five? That's a bold statement because honestly, I think he's.
I think I can give him top eight. I don't think I can give him top six.
Because I'm with you. I think he's a breakout candidate, and I can see all of what you're talking about. And there's a lot of players, especially when we're talking about dynasty, that I can't imagine I would take over Antonio Gibson. Like Antonio Gibson, as we start to get into, like young, explosive, pass catching, rushing, the team is going to use him. Like it just feels right. The toe injury is a little concerning, but I just go, okay, you know, this makes a lot of sense. I could see him jump right up in the top five, or I could see him kind of just depending on how all messes out. But I don't think, honestly, I just don't think it's that bold of a take. I think you got to get him up higher because I think he's right now at 13 or 4, RB 13 or 14, which is almost RB1 anyway. Come on, get bold.
Now that's true. Okay. So maybe my second one will be a little bit bolder for you. We breached on this a little bit and you said, don't tell you because you want to be genuinely surprised. Everybody loves Jalen Hurts, right? Jalen Hurts is the man. He can rush. He can do everything. He's for sure. I've heard a lot of big time analysts. He's for sure a QB1 in 2021. He's not. And honestly, people, he's not even a top 15 quarterback in 2021. I think
that's bold. I like this. This is bold.
I agree. This is bold. So good job on this.
If you look at his stats from the games he actually started and played, he averaged 50 quarterback touches per game, 50, 38 passing attempts and 12 rushes. So we say this about Dak Prescott, and we even said it during the season last season. He can't keep this pace up. And by the way, I agreed with that. I mean, he was on fire and then obviously he got injured. But, you know, at one point he was on pace for 7,000 passing yards. Like, we knew that the insane amount of pass attempts that he had were going to go down if he had been healthy. Jalen Hurts is not going to average 38 passing attempts. He's not going to do that. And by the way, he's not going to do that because he's not an accurate passer. We just gushed about Joe Burrow and his accuracy. Flip everything we said and apply it to Jalen Hurts. Do I think he's going to be better than the 52% I believe he was last year? Probably. But what does 55% get you? It's not going to get you much. And who's he throwing to? He has Smith. He has Goddard. And, I mean, you know, Bill talked a little bit about Rager. He's got a little faith in Rager. I don't. So who's he throwing this ball to that he's supposed to, you know, get, you know, all of these statistics from? And I think once teams realize that, you know, I don't think he's going to average 12 rushes a game either. So I put all that together and I say he's not going to be a top 12 or a top 15 quarterback for you.
I love it. That's bold. And honestly, I can't, like, you make a lot of good points. I'm not hugely invested in Hurts. I did purchase him from Bill in our 14 team super flex league. And I feel good about it because honestly, the potential is there for him to be a top 5 quarterback. And when I have Joe Burrow and Tua and some other potential quarterbacks, I felt like adding Hurts and paying up for him. I paid DeAndre Swift for him. Plus you gave me a little bit back, but it was pretty much, I'm giving a good running back. And I feel like, but Hurts is one of those guys that he could make that a huge win for me. Or by next year, like you said, he could be replaced by another quarterback. It is a tough call. I love something about his demeanor. I've talked about Dak in the past. When I first saw Dak play in the playoffs against Aaron Rodgers, and it was like his rookie year, and they were going toe-to-toe, and Aaron Rodgers would take the team down the field, and then you're a Cowboys fan, so you should remember this.
Yep.
And Dak would take – but when you watch Dak come on the field, it looked like a guy who was having the time of his life. Like, he was literally having so much fun. There was no pressure for Dak. This is playoff football. This is his rookie year. This was a guy that, like a fish in water, loved to be on the field and play football. And I just don't know how much to put on that, but to me it's a huge factor, and it's always been a huge factor of what I believe in with Dak, because there's so many quarterbacks that I think are afraid to be out there, that don't really enjoy to be out there. They love all the accolades of being a quarterback. They don't actually love the moment of being on the field and taking the hits and doing, but there are certain quarterbacks that live for it. Tom Brady, Dak, I feel like is one of them. And I feel like Jalen Hurts is one of those guys. When you see it in his eye, he loves being on the field. And when I listen to him talk, he just loves the process. Yeah, he's not that accurate. I agree. I feel like he doesn't have what Burrow has, which is just a natural passing talent, but he has like rushing ability in spades. And he has some of that with Dak, where you can create space, you can move around, allow your receivers to get open, and kind of, you don't need as much accuracy when you have guys kind of like the scramble drill in football. So to me, like, I can see it either way. I love the take though, because it's going to be hard for him if he stays the starter to not be a top 15 pick. So he's going to have to really fail. And that's a good one. Bill, give me your last one. Let's wrap this thing up.
I didn't have a second one. So I'm really bad at these. So unfortunately, I suck.
Yeah, honestly, this wraps it all up so perfectly. I'm just so happy to have you guys on with me. I thought this was a fantastic 100th episode. It's just kind of like what I like to do, talk football. Just to go back to the trade calculator thing, I just think there was a few interesting dynamics there that when you look at the trade calculators, there's some growth that each one needs to do, I think, in terms of if we put this out to Twitter, I don't think we would see that much different. I was in agreement with a lot of what you were saying. I think that there's just, you know, that when you're looking at putting a number on a player, sometimes you have to kind of recalculate those numbers. And both trade calculators, I felt like, had some deficiencies, some weaknesses. This is an opportunity for us as dynasty players. if you ever get a chance to find out, if someone sends you a picture of a trade calculator that they use and saying, here, this is how I see it, take that as a beautiful opportunity to now go research where all the values are and where you see some real discrepancies, and you can really open up some good trade value there. So anything else, guys? And also take a minute to say anything else you want. Tell me about your, tell the audience about your podcast. Can give it a shout out.
So Sonny, appreciate you, man. I know this is probably not even in your memory bank, but it's in mine because it was a special day for me. But you actually came in and filled in on the timeline the day my youngest son was born. I watched a little bit of that show and then ended up falling asleep because that was a long day. But I did listen to the entire pod afterwards, and it was awesome having you on. You filled in more than admirably. It was a great episode. Love listening to you. So keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's one of the shows, as soon as it comes on, I put it on right away. You know, Bill and I, we are co-hosts on the Fantasy Timeline every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network. If you just search that in YouTube, you can find us live, or just subscribe on your podcast directory and put us in your ears. Bill, did I miss anything?
Nope, that's it. Thanks, Sonny. Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate you guys so much. Yeah, Josh, that's one thing I noticed about you is you're always talking about your family, your wife. I'm the same guy, family guy. That's huge to me. So we're same kind of spirits there. And Bill, I can't tell you how much it's mean to me just over the years. You're one of the few people who stood up and just kind of voiced your appreciation for what I do. And it's that doesn't happen that often, honestly. And so I've always really appreciated you. And I've also appreciated your dynasty mind. I was telling this to somebody the other day. I said, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are famous and happy, but I honestly would take my guy Bill McCarthy. Like, he's a smart guy. I play against him. I know he's tough. He's tough to handle. And so those are the kind of things that matter to me. And I love having you guys on. I love having, you know, just some really great dynasty minds, some great, you know, you guys are just, it's such great personalities, great people. It just means a lot to me that this got to be my 100th episode. So thank you so much. Thank you to the listeners. As always, if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter at BigKnowledgeFFB or email the show at BigKnowledgeFootball@gmail.com. As always, thank you all for listening.